Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday. It's April 5th. I'm so excited about Fridays, Danny. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. I know it's the first time I ever told you that, but we always repeat ourselves here because you have to. Look, in real life, we also repeat ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much.
There you go. We can't sit here every day and go, gee, did we discuss this 2 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no.
So that's okay. Just like in real life, you can sit here and listen to the show, sometimes get irritated, sometimes just enjoy yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So weekend's coming. If you guys want to watch us, we do have a guest in the studio today. We're going to have fun as usual when we have guests. And you can tune in. Well, obviously, you're listening in audio. And if you're on Facebook, go ahead, check us out there. You just go to LA Talk Radio's page. And don't mind sharing the show, too. We never say no to that.
Mm.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Did you get good sleep?
Yeah, decent. I was drunk by like 8, so.
Really?
Yeah, I was asleep by 10 for sure.
Yeah, but your eyes look like you're not tired, so that's
no,
a good
I'm
thing.
No, I'm not. I don't feel tired right now.
Yeah.
But I got into my car in sweatpants and they ripped as soon as I sat down, so I literally just had to stop and grab leggings at CVS.
Really?
And I had to change in that disgusting bathroom, so it kind of fucked my mood for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me just get over it.
I know, the bathrooms here are a fucking
like,
disgusting.
Legend.
A fucking legend. Oh, this is like, supposed this to be a nice building, you know?
Yeah. No, the bathrooms
but
are...
But it's the people that make it like that.
No, the bathroom is just very old school.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a nice
That's
bathroom.
True. They gotta upgrade it,
yeah.
Right? I'll tell them.
Like, they need new tile.
Right.
Even smells like they might
the
need
hallways, but not
yeah.
The bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to bring it up. Maybe if enough people bring it up, they'll do something
so
about it.
So I had to
it.
Take my shoes off in there and put my pants, take my pants off and then put my leggings on. I was like, ew.
Yeah, you can do it in here next time if you want. Not yeah. that it's yeah. going to happen to you every day.
I know.
But if you ever have to change, you can do it in one of our rooms.
Yeah, that was gross.
Yeah. So, I wanted to bring this up because we've talked about this. You know how I told you I don't go to Airbnb because I'm afraid they'll put hidden cameras and stuff.
Right, yeah.
Well, there's an article about here that about this family. They went to stayed in a house in Ireland, and they found cameras. They what they did is they I guess the father scanned for Wi-Fis, and when you scan for any wireless devices, the camera's going to come up, you know, because the cameras are connected to your Wi-Fi when you have cameras at home.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So they realized, so where did they see the stream, though? That's my question, because they saw the stream and then they figured out, oh, this is where it's coming from. They realized it's hidden in a fucking smoke detector, which is my biggest fucking fear, you know.
That's
so
weird.
Not only that, but they call Airbnb and all they tell them is if you cancel within 14 days you won't get your money back. This is what they told them.
I and mean then, now they have so a they lawsuit kept, so there you go,
right? You yeah. know, and then Airbnb comes on, they say, you know, that this is not the way we the safety of our community is important, blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
and
now you're saying that,
right? Exactly. But they're gonna, I don't know if you can sue them for that, but
people
maybe
can't.
The people that do it, you can sue them for it.
Well, they'll probably sue Airbnb, and Airbnb will probably sue the tenants.
Probably.
Or like the land, whatever
I would
you
be
call
so
them.
Fucking pissed off. Imagine if you don't find out.
Yeah, and you're just like having sex on camera. And
right,
stuff.
And they stream it and everything. That's my fear. So in Airbnb, sometimes I even want... worried about like smaller hotels and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what the fuck's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah. And so try to stay home as much as you can. I guess. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Don't stay anywhere.
Yeah.
I know. I know. Imagine how many people do get, you know, on camera and they don't know it.
I feel like it's more of an out of country thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Why do you think so?
Because I watch every, a lot of movies. I mean,
you think we don't have wackos here that want to peep on people?
I'm pretty sure we do, but I just feel like the streaming part and putting it on the web, I feel like that's an out-of-country thing.
Yeah, that's too much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do it for yourself and masturbate to the people or something.
A lot of people don't do it for that, though. Yeah. Like, there's actually, like, a website my friend was telling me, caught on it, you get arrested, but, like, there's really fucked up shit on there.
Really?
From, like, people hiding cameras in, like, rooms and stuff.
Wow.
But people are sick, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very sick. I know, there's no privacy anywhere.
I just feel like everyone should go everywhere where they're not home, strapped.
Right.
Even if it's not a gun, like, bring something with you
to
defend yourself. Because you just really never know.
Yeah.
There's a video that I saw this morning on Instagram. Some girl's, like, walking down the street with her backpack. It looks like she just got out of, like, a late night class.
Uh-huh.
And some guy just, like, pulls up in his Prius and gets out and, like, tries to rape her.
Really?
Yeah. Mind you, there's street cameras. She whipped out a gun from her backpack. She took her back. She was, like, running backwards.
Oh, I saw that. The black and white video.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
She shoots his ass.
I know. She shot his ass a couple times.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Good
That's
for you, girl.
Cool, right?
Shoot his ass.
Yeah. But this other girl wasn't that lucky that went into a car that wasn't an Uber, huh?
I know, yeah.
What a poor girl, man.
And I was like, after that article came out, I was thinking about how I never match the license plate to the app. And I always get in the car and say, for Danielle, I never say, hey, are you blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I like basically giving them the leeway to lie.
Right.
Hey, is this for Danielle? Yep. Okay, great.
So go, what's your name? Don't even tell him the name. Just ask him, what's your name?
Right.
Yeah, and then he'll give it to you. Mm. Do you even check the car, though, and the color of the
car? Yeah, I always... No, actually, I definitely just lied there. Yeah. Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
If it's, like, a busy street, and I need to, like, try to track it down, I'll look at, like, the color, but I'll never, like, memorize the license plate.
Right. So now they want to put sort of, like, a thing... require everybody to put something on the car, and you as the passenger can choose what color it'll flash in, and then you can identify your car.
I mean, there should definitely be more steps to taking a system like that. But even at that, like, even if you do get an Uber,
right,
some of these drivers are out of fucking control.
Right.
Like, they're just doing some reckless... Like, how did you even get a job?
Yeah.
Like, that guy that... I think this was, like, 2 months ago. The girl got, like, shit-faced and her friends threw her in the back of the Uber. It was the correct Uber.
Right.
They tracked. This is the only way he got caught.
Yeah.
He stopped the trip, took her to a hotel, rented a room. You could see him on camera dragging her body into the room because she's passed out drunk, raped her multiple times, and then in the morning, she called the cops. Well, like, did you think you weren't going to get caught, my dude?
Well, what the hell?
Like, you ended the trip at a location that wasn't her home.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, freaks me out.
Yeah, that's why, you know, it's rather pretty safe to take an Uber because this guy knows they're going to find him based on the credit card information or the bank account information. And
well, that guy wasn't an Uber.
And, what's that?
That guy wasn't an
no,
Uber.
No, I'm talking about an Uber, like when you're afraid of Uber drivers with actual ones.
Right.
Because those pull all kinds of shit too, right?
Mm-hmm.
They seem like not to care, but
you're
always going to track them down.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Okay, so we're going to bring in our guest. I just wanted to bring up the Charlize Theron now. She says she's single and ready for love.
So obviously it didn't work out with Brad Pitt.
Well, she says I've been single for 10 years. Did she try Brad Pitt?
Yeah, there was like a month or two where they were seen like everywhere together.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently that's not the case now. So
she's so fire. I don't know how she's single.
I know.
She like doesn't age.
Yeah. She says, I've been single for 10 years. It's not a long shot. Somebody just needs to grow a pair and step up. I'm shockingly available.
Oh, okay. It sounds like she just was like dating someone and it didn't work out.
Like she's going to go with anybody that's not a celebrity, right?
Mm.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm open to that. All right, anyway. People are people, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to bring on our guest right now. Good morning. We have Ben Viba in the studio, right? Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, good morning.
Awesome. Yeah. Get close to the mic so we can hear you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You told me you grew up in L.A.?
Yeah. I mean, I'm originally from Portland, so...
Oh, really?
I grew up a lot
Portland,
in
Oregon.
Northwest. Yeah, but then I moved here. I lived here for like 9 years. got married here. My daughter was born here. Like St. John's and Santa Monica.
What moved you to LA? The weather or
the work, man? Yeah, the weather.
Yeah, the weather and the work. Yeah, pretty much.
I need that vitamin D, but the work was good too.
Yeah. What were you doing there at the time?
I think my first jobs here, like I was working for World Poker Tour, doing all the like casino.
I meant in Portland. Stuff. Is that what you were doing in Portland?
Yeah, I started working on shows there. For like 2 years. And
what kind of shows?
You know, Twilight and a small Jennifer Aniston movie called Management that no one saw.
Oh shit, Twilight! I definitely didn't see Management. No.
Like no one saw.
No,
it was good though. No, it was good. Yeah.
So you worked on these films.
Yeah. I mean, that was how I started.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. That's interesting. How did you get into that?
It was fun. I mean, I went to film school. I went to one of the art institutes. It doesn't exist anymore because the art institutes, like, got sued.
They just closed, right?
They closed a bunch of
theirs. Sued for what?
For closing down.
Because they're a for-profit institution.
Are for-profit?
Yeah, just like Trump University, right? That's why they got shut
right,
down.
Right.
Portland's a decent, decent place for movies and stuff.
Yeah.
I think Pretty Little Liars is like the new one shooting there now. And,
oh, like the Perfectionist one, the new season.
Yeah. You start meeting people from here and they say, hey, if you come to LA, give me a call. And you think most of the time people are just being friendly.
Yeah,
They don't really give a shit. But then I moved here and a few people were like, oh, you came. Cool.
Really? Yeah. So you actually found people that were willing to help.
Yeah. So, it's always cool when you find the genuine people,
right? 110%. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool.
I need some of those.
Yeah.
Where are they at? They're not here.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like diamonds in the rough.
I know.
You keep them when you can find them.
Are there any good things you can say about Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, no, Portland's great, man.
It is a great place.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's kind of, like anti-corporate vibe. So people like things being kind of indie and love supporting like, local bands and the art scene and,
I do want to go there for like a weekend. But when it's warm,
it's cool.
I don't want to go when it's raining.
Yeah. You can drink at all the movie theaters and stuff, like local ones,
Right.
And I know that's what's hard though. It's when it rains, it's like people get all that seasonal depression.
Yeah,
Really? So it does do that. I mean, you can feel that.
I mean, it's like super green, and you don't have like the wildfire
issue
like down here. But you have to, you have to deal with the gray and the rain and stuff. But then you get like these awesome mountains and all that. I think Oregon's also the last state where you can't own beach property, so you could like do bonfires and camp and have your dog on the beach and do whatever you want. And people can't like own the sand,
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know people own sand.
But
like in Malibu, right? Like you can't.
Oh, but they have houses there, right? Or they just own sand?
Yeah, the sand in front of it belongs to them too, right?
Yeah. So like in Oregon, like you can't have a house that's like right on the sand and then say, oh, you're on my, like you're in my yard.
Right.
If you're on the beach. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Only in Malibu.
But in Portland, you don't have a beach. So it's funny you're talking about it.
But that's probably why they have that.
Yeah. But the reason I'm so curious is because I went to Oregon twice, like in the past 6 months. And both times when I went, it never rained. So I'm like, wow, what a great place to be,
said you lucked out.
Yeah, I know. And I was going to move there, actually. Cool. And then things happened here and I didn't. But I was going to move on the coast to Lincoln City,
Nice.
Right? Yeah. That would have been nice. Yeah. I mean, a house on the friggin' lake, How can you beat that?
That's a great spot.
Right.
Lincoln City's cool.
Right, yeah. But I guess the weather, I still look at it. Every time I look, it's raining there, right?
Yeah.
It's tough. I wanted to go there for nature.
Yeah.
So
is it raining there this weekend? I bet you looked, right?
No. No, it doesn't matter. Does it?
Someone I worked with is there for like 4 days. She's like, I can't wait to go. She's from there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So she is just going back for a quick vacation. But she said that she enjoys it because it's like all it's not like corporate owned restaurants and stuff.
Right.
It's like all family owned. Yeah, it's a completely different vibe than being in the middle of Beverly Hills.
It really is a different vibe, nature. That's what I fell in love with, is nature there, But I guess when it rains, you can't really experience nature that much.
Right.
But then that's when people do all the indoor stuff, go to the movies and go to bars. And like when the bars try and charge cover, they'll be like, this isn't LA.
Yeah.
Seriously. I can't remember the last time I paid a cover to go somewhere?
Yeah.
I think I would just be like, excuse me?
Yeah, what do you mean? Exactly. I'm spending enough money inside.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do you want the bar tab or do you want this cover?
Right.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
So, Ben, so you moved to LA. Yeah. What did you start doing here once you moved?
I started working on shows here and just exploring. My first place was just down the street, like North Hollywood, you know, and
that's where
Sherman
you
Oaks and stuff. That's where I started, and then I moved to Venice. I love the West Side.
Venice is great. Yeah. For those who don't know,
Venice
right
is kind of
beach.
A far drive to come here this morning.
Yeah, but it's not bad. I mean, we're staying in Venice this time because we're doing a small event tonight.
Right.
Is that
what you're here to talk about, your event?
Well, of course, we'll talk about the event too. Yeah. Careful with the chair, you're rocking the whole table here. You need to
I do that sometimes
settle
too.
Down a little bit.
He's excited.
I'm excited. I'm happy to be here.
Tap your foot or something like this. You know?
I do that sometimes too. I just tap lightly all the time.
I know, but the thing
I
is,
I always
you
see
have
that
room,
moving.
But on your side, there's room for the chair where he is. There's no room
there
for the chair.
There we go.
That's not good because on camera you look very low. Yeah.
Oh, just leave him be. He's fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
No, why?
This is better.
Yeah, that's better. He's right in the view.
You see on the camera, you look very low. I don't know, whatever.
He has OCD a little bit.
I shorten myself.
It's not OCD, it's perfection, okay?
That's OCD. Sam.
No, it's not.
It
it's
is,
wanting
for sure.
everything to look great.
Which is OCD.
No.
Yeah, 110%.
It's a reflection on
right?
me.
Right? Am I right? Yeah, 110%.
Oh, boy, she's putting labels on me now.
Yeah, who cares, though? Everyone's got issues. That's yours.
Okay. Right. Gotta own it.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Ben Weber, who, so then you work in Copenhagen now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, Copenhagen, Denmark.
Okay, so tell us a little bit. How did you end up with your own company, right? Is that your own company?
Yeah. Well,
you're
it's not mine. I'm head of production.
Okay.
Our CEO is from Norway.
I see, okay.
Oh, so you don't live here anymore?
No.
Oh.
Nah, I know. Pretty crazy, right? I actually, from here, I lived in New York for 3 years, and then have lived in Copenhagen for the last year.
Wow, how cool. Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about Scandinavia, because I've been in Copenhagen a couple times.
Where's Copenhagen?
And, that's Denmark, in Denmark.
Like, it's just north,
where's that?
It's just north of Germany, and then just to the east of
Sweden.
Oh, like
you live out of country right now.
Yeah. Far away.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
They're overseas, okay?
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Their geography is not quite where it should be.
No.
Okay.
No, you said Denmark, and
go.
I was like, how long's that flight?
11 hours.
11 hours, yeah. I know. But for some people, it's worth it, right? It's worth coming halfway across the world to be in Hollywood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So your company's called HF Productions, right? Yeah. Or the company you're in.
Yeah.
And you're the head of production there.
Yeah.
Working out of Copenhagen, when did you join this company? Or
I mean, it's been almost the entire time I've there, like a year ago. Henrik, the CEO, was literally the first person I met in Denmark. It was
really?
Like, it was really cool.
And then he offered you a job, or did you go out there to interview for the job?
No, he offered me a job, And then, so it's been really great. Denmark's
How did your family feel about moving out there? Were they like, what the fuck, Dad?
We actually moved because of my wife. My wife is a video game designer and game director.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And so we actually moved out there because she got a job first.
And then you found a job.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
see how that works?
They're very fortunate, though, to have found that, right? Yeah. Both of you.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool. She does what, video game designer?
Yeah, and now she's a game director. Yeah, she works on a cool game called Subway Surfers, which is pretty popular. And actually, they hosted a cool event at Venice Beach with graffiti artists and skateboarders and stuff. It's all about kind of street culture and skateboarding.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. So you both went, you have kids too, right?
I have a 5-year-old daughter named Mai Mai.
Really?
Yeah.
And so is she learning Danish there?
A little bit.
Really?
She's really shy about it, but she's a sassy little queen. So, she'll pick it up.
No, and do you guys, are you learning the language too while you're there?
Yeah, I tailored it down.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. It's a tough language, but I love
it.
Denmark.
It is a tough language,
I
right?
love Denmark, though. It's a great place.
Isn't it a great place? So I was there, unfortunately, only when I was a kid, you know, like 16 or something. I wish I could go there now. What I do remember, at least in the 70s, it was a very sexual place, you know. I mean, sexually open place, you know. You'd have like adult stores like every other door down the street, you know, and shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one day on a sunny day, everybody took advantage of it and laid out topless, you know, in the sun and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
See, I wouldn't mind topless beaches. I just wouldn't want full nude because I don't want to see a dude's like, right. Yeah,
I mean, I think they like some people do. Most people like people do the topless thing, or whatever. But yeah, people are pretty open that way,
right? More than we are here, I think.
Do you
right?
want that?
Yeah. No, it's okay.
What happens it's, now? What you want?
Wow. Okay, I'll drink it.
Yeah. It's literally all espresso. I can't do it.
I love espresso.
Yeah.
I'll drink
okay.
It.
Cool.
I don't have a straw, but you can like.
Cool.
Yeah, no straw. It's there literally, you see again the cup of
literally
coffee,
straight like espresso. It. I'm like, ooh. Dude, I can't.
Yeah. That's good. I'll get it.
Yeah. Like I'm it. Like, ugh.
What do you need in there? You just put milk in there.
No, but I usually get iced Americano, which is all espresso, but I put white mocha in it. Oh. So it's like sweet, you know?
Gotcha. Little, this one's
you know
nice.
What you like, though. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And as soon as I tasted it, I was like, oop, can't do it. No. Nope. I'm going to drink my energy drink. Cheers.
Cheers.
And
yeah. So, and the gentleman from, was he from Norway then, you said?
Henrik. Yeah. He's half Norwegian, half Portuguese.
I see. Okay, so, yeah. And you met in Denmark, though.
Yeah.
Why was he in Denmark and not in Norway?
I think his family lives in Denmark, too. And Denmark's just, I mean, it's a great place in terms of like, work-life balance and... people are treated really, really well in their work life.
Do people fit in if they don't speak the language?
I think people are pretty accepting. I mean, it's, I feel like every culture is protective of like their language and stuff, especially a small country. I mean, Denmark is 5.7 million people, so there's more people.
Yeah,
like,
that's a lot of you know, people.
But there's more people in LA. No. There's more people in LA than the whole country of Denmark. So, right? So it's like Brooklyn and Queens together is Denmark. So, so I don't ever like take it as a knock. If you know someone finds it difficult if I don't know like Danish yet, I would work with people and they'd say, oh, I should speak English around you, and I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm in your country, like, I'm in Denmark, don't worry about it. So I like being respectful of that.
Very cool man. So you've been there for a year now in Copenhagen.
Now so
HF Productions, tell us what you guys do. If you guys want to check it out, you can go to hf-productions.net and follow us as far as what Ben does. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have a big social impact mission. Our main thing is film festivals. So we put on a whole series of film festivals, and we're here to put one on our small event at Beyond Baroque in Venice, which is tonight at 6 p.m. So one night festival, like a double 2-hour block with the intermission. So we do these kind of events. We just put one on in Oakland at the New Parkway, which was great. We had, you know, overflowing, like full house, which was really cool. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And but yeah, and we do them mostly throughout Europe, like Budapest and Prague and Oslo and of course in Copenhagen too.
Right.
But then we do like these social impact projects. We're producing a documentary on bereaved children. Which are children who have lost a parent or in some cases both their parents.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I mean, like one of our kids' subjects has lost both parents separate instances before he was 10. And our main producer and director are both Danish women, both named Katrina. And they're actually in New... So the facility we're using with the kids is actually in New Jersey. It's called Good Grief. So our Danish director has been traveling there like every month or so, and she's there now for 3 months to do like the bulk of shooting. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys definitely have a mission in what you do. It's not just putting things together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean it's fun to do stuff that feels like we showcase all kinds of stuff at our film festivals, like you know, very you know pure popcorn entertainment, like animation, documentary, and some stuff that's very, you know, very raw and intense, right. You know, social impact stories too. Yeah.
So you guys produce the content, or do you just put the festivals together?
Yeah, at our festivals, we don't produce content. You don't produce the content. And we don't outsource anything. Our team curates and judges and does all selections at these festivals. So, and most of them are like 1 to 3 day festivals. And, you know, we've had up to like thousands of submissions for a single festival and stuff. Yeah. So
that's for short films, those festivals?
No, we run the gamut. So like our Oakland one was the Oakland Short Film Festival. So that was just short films. But like the one tonight, it's called LA Festival of Cinema. And that one is going to be just shorts.
Just shorts?
Yeah, just shorts.
Okay.
Other ones, we've done feature length and shorts both. And across the genres, right? Like shorts, features.
Yeah. You see, and that's what we always talk about. We get a lot of makers of short films here, usually before the Oscars and stuff, right? We had four of the five nominees we had here on the show.
And then the one person we didn't have is the winner.
Right. the one. But at any rate, so they usually talk about how the only places you can see those movies at the festivals, right?
Yeah. It's become a really great outlet for them. And a lot of the best festivals, like even LA Film Festival, was Oscar accredited for the short film category.
Right.
So
yeah,
it is. It's hard. But there are more networks that are starting to open up because, you know, they all will have digital channels now. And digital channels are like also the only distribution place outside of festivals you can find them, you know?
Right. Yeah. At least we have those. We didn't even used to have those, right?
Yeah,
so it was only the festival.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess like mainstream TV, like the networks and stuff, they don't really show short films, do they?
No.
On regular TV,
unless
right?
you package them together into kind of like a little series.
Like
right?
a festival
on
TV or
but
something.
But even so, I don't think I've ever heard of someone doing that though.
Like on TV.
Like actually on like if you put on like ABC or like NBC, then
it's pretty much
like,
non-existent.
Yeah. Maybe on like Netflix if like they make it into like episodes like Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You know?
Otherwise like animation is probably the most likely made.
Right.
Yeah.
And even at that, where are you going to see that? Like an 18-minute?
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Or they'll do it where, like, you know, they'll attach a short at the beginning of a feature.
Right. Yeah. That's very true. I think Ice Age used to do that.
Yeah.
I think they put a short in the beginning of the movie, and then it would be the movie, and I was like, what was that?
With, like, Pixar. Individual characters.
That aren't even in the movie, or they are for, like, a split second.
Like, we had to cut him, so we gave him his own short.
Yeah, right in the beginning, just to get you guys excited.
Yeah, but you know what? In the old days, they used to play, like, cartoons before the main feature in theaters.
Oh, not when I was a kid.
Not when you were
a kid. No, definitely not.
Way before that.
Yeah. It was, like, the warm-up. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your opener. Yeah.
But, Pixar actually started this before DreamWorks. So, you know. But, so I'm looking through your website, and you guys provide, like plans. Tell us a little bit about that. You have festival, consultancy, production plan. What are those things? What can people find on the website?
Yeah, so we do the festivals, right, that we literally run and organize. And we also are commissioned to do other events, like there's a really cool art installation place called Salt, which does like movie nights and really cool like events in Oslo, and they've commissioned us to do some like movie nights. And then we're doing a project with the UN on the SDGs, which a lot of people are still getting introduced to, the Sustainable Development Goals.
Okay.
So we're going to do an event with them in New York that Sony's a part of too. And then we do like consultancy, which is basically like sourcing for projects.
Right.
So we, especially now being in Denmark, like projects that want to shoot, you know, in Europe, we help them kind of source, you know, like finance and distribution locations.
That's awesome, though. I mean, because if somebody comes new from the U.S., they don't know where to start.
Right. Yeah. And it's like we are just working with a group. Here, like coming from LA, that has a project that's like a World War II project, and then we connected them with a company in Budapest, and we were like, this could be perfect to shoot in Budapest, and then like shoot exteriors in Krakow, and you know, so it's like it's just making those kind of connections of, oh, you know, I think this is the right place to look, and there's there's groups like Creative Europe that help with that. And mm-hmm. because people also from the U.S. are used to like all this private funding, right? Private money and VCs and angel investors. And like, they don't have that in some countries in Denmark. Like, everything's institutions. You have these kind of government institutions. Right. To find your money. Yeah,
well,
and all
that's socialist culture, right?
It's a little different. I mean, it's not like it's not bad, but it is hard to get like these giant sums of money.
Right. Listen, when the government gets involved, there's no innovation. Okay, I mean, innovation comes with this for profit, and companies have a motive to find new ways to do things. You know, but it's it's interesting. So now if now, as far as head of production, what do you specifically do?
Yeah. So I do a lot of our partnerships. So I go out and like our deal with the UN was something I put together. Like, we went to New York and met with them. And because we already run festivals, we were interested in trying to see if they were developing anything. Because there's also like this giant festival in Bonn, Germany, which is another UN site for their offices. And it's called the Global SDG Action Fest. And it's like a 4-day festival, and there's a film component to it and stuff. And we were like, you know, so when I went to them, I said, are you guys trying to build anything else? And Sony had actually put together something out here at their lot called Picture This, which was partnered with the UN Foundation. And it was to, you know, get filmmakers to make stuff like about climate action and environmental work. And right. And, so then the New York team wanted to start one, but you know, the UN isn't like a media company, right? They don't really have like a media team to do that. So then that's where we partner with them. So I go out and try and do this kind of stuff. And I brokered our thing to do the children's documentary with the Danish directors. The company we partnered with them is called Good Company Pictures. And they actually made this documentary that won the jury award at LA Film Fest just this past September. Nice. That was called False Confessions, which is like about people who basically get, you know, manipulated through police interrogations, give false confessions, and go to prison.
That sucks.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's brutal, right? It's, you know, but so we knew like they could handle doing, you know, working with them to do a documentary about something really.
Yeah.
Really
can cool you imagine being in an interrogation room for like 15 hours and you just feel like, oh God, I just don't want to be here anymore. I fucking did it.
Right.
Oh,
right,
it's so crazy. I mean, and most people don't, like, they don't ever release video of, like, full interrogations,
it's
right?
Only, like, clips.
So, yeah, and actually, like, we have access, the Katrinas have access to, like, a full interrogation session that they got doing the False Confessions documentary.
Yeah.
And we were even, you know, like, looking at that, because it's rare to even get access to not only, like, look at it, but keep it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it is really raw and intense, and it's a really tough subject.
You could keep me for 2 days straight. I am never going to confess to something I didn't do. You're not going to break me.
Maybe 3 days you will.
Everybody's
got a breaking point eventually. You know?
Yeah, but I would never, ever,
but
ever
that would be
confess.
With torture, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't know what they're doing. Like, we don't know what's happening. A lot of people
they turn the camera off, like under the table, right? Yeah. The little magic button.
Yeah.
I know, they fuck with you, you know, with your mind.
Yeah.
Probably don't feed you or give you drinks, so you're like just parched and hungry and angry.
Well, even if not, but they play the good cop, the bad cop, this and they try to out psych you, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, hey, just answer the questions, because otherwise that mean dude's gonna come.
I'll
bring you coffee.
Yeah, right? I'll bring you a donut if you tell me if you start talking. Start talking about what I didn't do it.
Yeah,
I wasn't there. Horrible.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. And so that's good. Now you're busy. Your wife's busy and stuff. Do you guys find time to actually have some leisure time with your daughter?
No, I mean, actually that's another cool thing. Like in Denmark, people get, you know, like 5 weeks of vacation like by law. So yeah, I mean, it's nice in that way where it's I mean, work still, you know, work's hard, we all work hard, but it's not like no one's doing like 15-hour days, you know, like movie sets and stuff here.
In LA, it's a rat race here.
Even the Danish sets. Like, I was just at a meeting with the Canary Islands people. A lot of stuff shoots out there, right? The Spanish owned islands. And they're like, yeah, but the Danish crews, you know, even the on the set, they still only do 8-9 hours, right?
Yeah, no, out here, it's like you can go up to like 18.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And I've done those. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. So, but so we do get time to explore and travel around the region a little bit and stuff.
Yeah,
it's nice. Yeah, I mean, you can literally just take a bridge to mm-hmm. Sweden from our place.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only that, but you know, you would love it because you can go to any country without having to fly. You know, you can just drive there or take a train.
Yeah, but then you have to get there on a flight. No. To do that.
Oh, one time.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying
I
if you
do,
live
I
there,
do
though.
Want to see like a bunch of places, like when you say like Prague and stuff, like when you watch like Mission Impossible or like all these movies, it's always like Prague or Denmark or somewhere where I'm like, it would be cool to like maybe just see it up close.
Croatia.
Yeah. You know?
There's a lot of history there. I mean, you know, all of our Western history started there.
Right.
You know, so that's where it all comes from.
Yeah.
I feel a certain connection to Europe. I like going there.
I've never been.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go.
I know.
Well, because once you're there, too, it's people kind of forget that, like, it's really easy to country hop, too, once you're there. There's countries that are smaller than a single U.S. state. You know, so, like, your flights are half an hour even.
Yeah.
You know, 45 minutes sometimes.
And then they get trains everywhere if you don't want to fly.
Yeah.
Here the train system sucks, man. It's not the same.
Are there trains in L.A.?
Well, from L.A. to...
I'm like, are there?
There are. You can go all the way across the country with a train.
Oh,
Amtrak.
Yeah.
Amtrak. Yeah. I mean, I prefer not to be on a train.
But they don't have they don't have those like bullet trains.
No.
We
don't have they have those.
I think New York has those from New York to Boston.
When they pass by each other, but you can feel the gravity. They're going so fast, that they like pull into each other as they pass each other.
Whoa!
And
can you imagine if they crashed into each other? It's a wrap.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is really dangerous.
They should have a chopper out there to shoot it, you know, and then be like, it's in the next Michael Bay movie.
So those bullet trains go that fast, huh? Maybe hundred miles an hour.
I mean, probably. But when you're on them, you can feel it. If when you pass another train,
right?
You can feel it.
It's the
like
air.
There's a gravity pull for a second.
And it's probably like the effects that an airplane goes through, you know, with all the air going back in and stuff. The air can suck you in pretty much.
But airplanes don't really feel like they're going as fast as they're going.
No,
really.
Because you don't have anything.
Yeah, it is deceiving.
Yeah,
right?
Like you don't feel like
because
you're going 545.
To it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like we're not hopefully you're not passing another plane, because if you are, some shit's about to go down.
Until
literally.
One of those action scenes happens and a hole blows open on the side of the plane and everything gets blown out.
Right.
Like, oh, we were going that fast.
And then somebody happens to survive. It's like, no, in real life, that would never happen.
Yeah. But that's because air always goes from high pressure to low pressure, you know, so that's why you get sucked out of the plane. Pretty scary shit, man.
Yeah.
Remember this happened like a few years ago to somebody? Like there was a hole in the fuselage and one person got sucked out, man. Can you imagine dying?
Oh, that was on a Southwest airline.
Was it
Southwest? Yeah, she got completely sucked out.
Yeah, can you imagine dying like that?
No, but they sucked her out and then they pulled her back in. She died at the hospital. Yeah.
Oh my
and her
God.
Family, her whole family was on the plane. She's the only one that got it.
I remember one that disappeared. I don't know.
Oh, no. She got sucked and then they grabbed her. Like it was like five of them pulling her back into the plane.
Yeah.
So they pulled her back and she was like okay and comprehensive and then she died in the hospital.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That shit's wild. Like that's some Final Destination shit.
Right?
Yeah. So bizarre.
Wow.
Crazy.
Oh well, if you
said
oh well, what can I say?
Things
you
know? Happen.
What happens? What
oh
can
well.
I
Happy Friday!
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Ben Viva. He's the head of production of HF Productions, and that's a Danish company that operates out of Copenhagen. So you grew up here in L.A. Do you have any siblings or anything?
I have an older brother. He actually, he's a doctor. He did his residency here at Cedars and then worked at like the VA and the UCLA Yeah, and then he moved back to Portland. Actually, my whole family did. My parents lived in Sylmar, and then they moved back to Portland.
Oh, really? So everybody went back to Portland?
Yeah, they all went back.
How come? They didn't like LA that much?
No, I think it's maybe it's because I left. And then they're like, man, the coolest one left, you know?
And they don't want to go to Denmark.
Nah, it's a little far.
Yeah.
They're all doing all right. Yeah. I have a cousin out here, though. He lives in Pasadena. He has a band called More More. They're pretty dope.
Really?
They're like punk rock. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So once you moved, the rest of your family moved back to Portland.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I guess they felt, you know, we're not together anymore. We might as well just
kind of
go where we want to.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's home.
A lot of the rest of the family, like extended family, is up there.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. And plus, it's not, like I said, it's not a terrible place to live. But you're saying that if you go on weeks or days or weeks at a time without sunshine, it's depressing,
hard,
right?
It's hard. And I'm a sun person. I lived in New York for 3 years, but I still don't remember anything about how to get around. But every time I come back here, like it's been a couple years since I've been back, I remember everything.
Yeah.
I remember everything. And I like all my staples. I'm like, yes, you know. I love it, man. I miss this place. I love LA.
Yeah.
I hate the people, but I love it here.
Yeah. Right? A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
I love the people who are like, hey, you want to hang out? And they're like, maybe. What time is it? Oh, it's 2 p.m. Too late. It's too late, man. I'm not crossing the city for you.
Yeah.
Everything is decided based on the traffic.
Yeah,
right?
110%. Yeah. Do I really want to do this today? Probably not.
Yeah.
That's funny. And so now you're visiting.
Yeah.
Right? How long are you staying for?
We're here through Sunday, and then we move on. We're going to Phoenix next.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So tonight is our event at Beyond Baroque, and then tomorrow we get a free day. So we're gonna hang out and do LA things.
Wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
And so then people in Arizona can see you next week, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then where else are you stopping?
Yeah. Albuquerque and Dallas.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty nice trip.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. Yeah, because some of our team hasn't been to the U.S. before. And then, I think most of them haven't been to L.A. before. So that's also very cool.
Yeah.
I get to introduce them to L.A. things.
Yeah.
And, but
how many of you are there?
So our full team in Denmark is like 8 of us.
Okay.
And there's 4 of us here. Okay. Teresa, Sue, and Armina.
Okay. Teresa's hiding in the background. I don't know why, but she does. But
I like your eyeliner. It's cute.
You guys will have to guess what she looks like, but what she sounds like. But that's okay. We offered for you to be here, but, you know. But that's neither here or there. You decided to sit over there, and that's fine, you know. So very cool. Now, so your daughter, how old is she?
She's 5 and a half. And a half is very important. Like,
to her.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh, you know, you're 5? She's like, no, 5 and a half.
Yeah.
You have to remember that.
I feel like those were important when I was a kid,
right?
As well.
I know. You keep
track
of every day.
I was like, no, I'm 10 and a half.
You're like, I'm 78
kids
months.
Kids want to be bigger, you know, older.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. And then you get older, you want to be younger, you know.
It is. It's universal. I mean, the first toys that she liked were getting her own baby and a stroller and to push that around. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Where's this? Yeah. Where's this come from? You're a baby.
And she was born here in L.A.?
Yeah, at St. John's in Santa Monica. But it's crazy because she was going to be born at Cedars, and then Kim Kardashian's kid was born the same day, and we got bumped.
Oh, yeah, they took the whole floor.
Northwest.
Yeah,
that's true, right?
Literally, same day. I never thought that was a real thing. And they're like, no, we don't have any room. And they're like, Kim Kardashian took like a whole wing.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like unnecessary. Like, you don't need a whole fucking wing for your kid.
But she doesn't want people just running around.
Well, I mean, I get it. Yeah.
I get
and paparazzi
it.
Like snapping pictures.
I'm actually thankful because St. John's was great. It was super quiet and peaceful. And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool.
Hey, everything happens for a reason.
Right?
You know?
How much money does it have to cost to close down a whole wing, you know, for Kim Kardashian?
Know, man.
So what I'm saying is, why not just have somebody come home and take care of your kid, you know? They can bring the machines with them and cost them less.
No.
And do it at home.
I don't know.
What the hell?
I probably wouldn't want that either.
Yeah.
Like, where are they going to do that in their home?
What? Yeah. Oh, they probably have a mansion, no?
No, yeah, probably, but it's already probably decorated. The room's already probably
Excuse
like a
me,
sign.
You find one room you put a bed on it, and you know, with stirrups and everything, and you deliver the baby.
Maybe it costs less to rent the wing.
Yeah. Although, if you have a kid outside the hospital, the naming thing is hard. They said if we left the hospital and hadn't given her a name yet, it was going to be like really hard.
Really?
Yeah, they made it sound like it was scary.
Like a Jane Doe.
Yeah, they said that to Gabby too, because Gabby wasn't sure if she was going to give Marcellus her baby daddy's hyphenated last name, right. And she was about to leave the hospital. Like, we need to know now.
Yeah,
and she was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, they're super aggressive. Yeah.
Can't I just tell you like in a
your
week?
Kid will just have no name if you leave here.
No name. Jane Doe, basically.
Yeah.
No, when you leave, they don't want you owing them anything. You know, so it's like let's close this. We want to know the name. Don't want to hear from you again.
Yeah, that's crazy. I hope I have like a nurse and a doctor that like cares about me. Yeah. If I ever have a baby.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, you know, generally I think the staff is pretty nice. You know, I mean, my mom's been.
I'll be watching so many like doctor shows and nurses shows. I'm like, I don't trust none of y'all.
Yeah, but then those are the people that like go out of their way to want to be on a show, having them show their doctor and nurse work, you know? And it's like, don't your patients care?
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Ben Wiebe, it's spelled W-I-E-B-E.
Yeah.
And Ben is with two N's. The company's hf-productions.net. You can check out more about that. And tell us once again about the event.
Yeah. It's called the LA Festival of Cinema. It starts tonight at 6 at Beyond Baroque in Venice.
Beyond Baroque?
Beyond Baroque. It's one of the best.
Oh, Baroque. Yeah, I said Beyond Baroque.
It's also one of the best places in the city for like literary readings and poetry and stuff. It's pretty dope. But it's also First Friday on Abbotkinney, and it's right down the street. So people need to come out. It's a good night to go out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but, it's a cool area, too. It's very trendy.
It's a 4-hour event. It's like 2 hours and then an intermission and 2 hours. Yeah.
Oh, sounds like fun. Awesome.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like food available and drink and stuff like that to buy or whatever?
So Beyond Baroque doesn't have like their own cafe and stuff, but we're setting stuff up. Yeah. And then that's why it's perfect that it's First Friday. There's going to be lots of stuff right there.
What's First Friday?
Awesome.
We're like all the food trucks and there's like, you know, all the bars are open. Even the art galleries bring out wine and all that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, you got to check that out.
You guys haven't gone to it? Yeah, First Friday, every month, Abbotkinney. It's like a giant party. They have their own website.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. Yeah. I've only been to Venice once since I moved here.
Really?
Yeah.
You really should go.
It's just too far. It's just too far.
It's like an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, it is. It took me 2 hours there and back. I was like,
it's 2 hours to find parking.
You pay for parking. I just do like the valet. I'm like, I pull it up. I'm like, it's 20 bucks.
Right, I know.
It's better than like walking 10 miles.
I do love that valet is a thing here, though.
Yeah, I just wish it was like a little cheaper.
Yeah.
Because if you're there only there for like an hour or two, it's like, damn. Yeah.
What about the restaurants you go to? You drop a couple $100 there and they still charge you $10 for valet, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what is this? You know, I mean, I don't have anywhere else to park.
They charge valet at my restaurant, too.
Yeah.
With the validation, it's still $16.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's what I mean.
Then
you know?
See how far they had to go to park it and you're like, take two steps.
Yeah. Yeah. But the valet like owns like those spots. So like no one else can park there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of work.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
You're a lot of fun. And welcome to you too. I wish you'd be. Maybe next time you guys will both be on the
That's right. Teresa will join us.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us. Good luck. Continued success to you with all
thank
the stuff
you very
you're
much.
Doing.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It.
So you gonna come back here or do you stay in Denmark indefinitely for now?
I mean, I love Denmark. I think we'll stay there for a while.
So you'll stay.
But in terms of travel, I mean, I'm gonna be back here. Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah.
But
Denmark is beautiful, right?
Right.
Is it cold?
I mean, it's similar to the Northwest. Yeah. Like it doesn't hit extremes. We're right between the North Sea and the Baltic Sea.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't get, like, below freezing, but it doesn't get, like, hotter than 80 degrees.
Right.
Which is perfect for me, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll move there, too. They have beautiful women there.
Yeah.
Right? Don't they?
Yeah.
All blondes, you know, fair skin. I like that.
Well, there you go. If you like blondes, you'll be very
happy. Yeah, there you go. No, it's funny, but I just remembered when I was probably, like, 15, there was obviously no internet, not even personal computers or nothing. But they were like pen pals.
Right.
So you'd meet. I don't know how we kind of met. I think they would give us names from overseas, and they give us our names, and it'd be like exchange students, but just paper, pen pals. And I was given the name of one girl, and man, she was beautiful. You know, I'm like, God, I got to see her, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but by the time I came to Denmark, we went. I didn't know where she was. We had stopped writing to each other.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but that's okay. We have good stories. My our best friends came with us on that trip to Denmark and the rest of Europe, and their son was my age, so we had a blast. We'd go out like Tivoli Garden, right?
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah, that place is great.
It's like a huge fair and park and right. There's everything.
Yeah, it's the second oldest like theme park in Europe. But it was also the park where Walt Disney like got his inspiration literally to make Disneyland and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, so when they do parades at Tivoli, that the last float is like an it's a small world thing, and it's got Walt Disney and Mickey on the back,
because
it's like they're paying homage to him, like it being inspired.
Yeah. And then there's a famous mermaid statue there too that you can. You know, right? That Mark Copenhagen.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid, because Hans Christian Andersen is from there, and he wrote the Little Mermaid and a lot of other stories. You know,
I see. Yeah. Okay, very interesting. All right. Well, thanks again, Ben.
Yeah.
Have a safe trip back, Danny. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Are you working? Not working this weekend?
I don't work till Sunday.
Don't work till Sunday. Okay. No. Well, enjoy yourself. I'll enjoy myself. Everybody, enjoy yourselves too. And we'll see the shit out of you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.